You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, whenever, wherever you may be listening from. I'm John Vogel, and welcome into The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor on this lovely hump day! That's right, it's Wednesday. I hope everybody's having a good week so far. I think the week on this side's been pretty good. Tested negative for coronavirus yesterday. So I think that's a good thing, considering that I was exposed to it on Thursday. Now, there is some football and stuff that's kind of we need to get into here a little bit. And one of these topics is a couple days old. I probably should have gotten into it yesterday, but it's worth getting into now because we have a lot more, you know, facts and everything down. And I think I want to go ahead and start off with it today. The XFL, who had filed a Chapter 11 bankruptcy back in April amid the coronavirus pandemic, has been purchased by the Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson and some other investors, all, I think it was for a grand total of $15 million. The startup league had a pretty successful first year before it was cut short by the coronavirus pandemic. It played a half of a full season. Several players immediately picked up contract offers and went on to NFL teams. So, to this point, nobody really knows what's going on with it. They had retained a few employees. The majority of them had filed for unemployment. But I think there was 5 employees that were left or something like that. So not sure what's going on with the players. Not sure about any of that. So I think it's worth, first off, it's worth noting that we don't know too much about any of this yet. The Rock says that he's looking forward to creating, you know, a league that, you know, people can enjoy and fans can experience. So I would imagine a lot of the same technological advances that the XFL has shown in the 2020 season, we will continue to see. Now, do they start in 2021? I'm sort of leaning toward no. Here's why. If they're smart, they're not going to play in 2021. So here's the big deal about the XFL. It was actually entertaining. It was very entertaining. And because of that, the league prospered and did well with the television ratings and did well with all of that. All right, so You have a good product. You know it can be successful. You know that people will go to the games. You know that you're going to get media coverage because you just had it with the product that you had on the field. You know that you can get enough good football players to create a good football product. So there's not that much to change. Now, the problem is you're recovering from a pandemic in 2021. You're trying to get the economy running back again. And this is not something that's going to be very successful from a monetary standpoint if this were to happen. Okay, so the XFL, it's got a lot going for it. I think that there's a lot of positives when you look across the board at all the different things going on with it. It's wise not to play in 2021. You don't want to compete with the other sports that are trying to make money at this point as well. You don't want to mess with any of that. So don't. Let it go. Walk. All right. The biggest thing here to take away from this purchase is that the XFL is back. They're going to play football. Probably 2022. And that's okay. We want football. We like football. It was a good product. Let's sit back and enjoy it. All right. Now, there is a couple other things that we can get into. I want to touch on this very quickly. Odell Beckham Jr. And this is another thing I probably should have gotten into yesterday. Got taken up by all the college stuff that's been going on lately with people going after college football coaches. You know, there's a time in my life, I'm going to just divert to this real quick. There's a time in my life where I really desired to be a college football coach. And I think media and social media has absolutely killed any bit of that desire. Because it is so easy for you to do something wrong in the eyes of social media, in the eyes of your football players. And this isn't a direct comment. This isn't commenting directly on, you know, Gary Patterson, Mike Gundy. This isn't a direct, like, targeted comment speaking. This is just a very general, it's just look at the last few years. It is so easy for the coach to go from beloved to hated by his own fan base. You know, and it's the media spinning these stories. Trying to make it something that it's really not. Now, the Patterson experience this past week, as in Monday, was a great example of the media taking a story and spinning it completely out of proportion to where even its own players are going, no, that's not it. They'll believe everything you read. Because the media was intentionally misleading about what went down. All right, so any desire that I had to be a college football coach at any point in my life has been absolutely squashed because it is so hard to navigate the waters. It used to be something that was really good to do. You got the chance to really be there for some people's lives and hopefully help these men grow, not just in football, but in every aspect. And that was something that a lot of college football coaches took great pride in. You know, some of the best coaches in college football took pride in all that. So it's sad that you can't be like that in today's culture. You have to be so cautious about the waters that you navigate. And, you know, it's tragic. But I do want to get on this Odell Beckham Jr. thing because this was a couple days ago. I think this was on Monday as well. A report came out that Odell was complaining about the NFL's coronavirus procedures, saying it's unsafe. There's no reason why we should be trying to play football. It was a very irritating quote for anybody who just wants things to somewhat return back to normal. It was a complete Corona bro quote. I mean, like, it sounded like they had written it themselves. Basically, apprehending the NFL for its, why are you making us play? And I was immediately annoyed when I came across this because everyone on this show knows, because I've maintained this, and I feel like I say this every day, if you want to sit out this season because of coronavirus, because you have safety concerns, you are concerned for yourself personally, do so. And anyone who ridicules you for that on social media or anywhere else, the workplace, that it's unwarranted. That's not right. That decision that you make to sit out a season due to a pandemic should be respected. And that's the thing here. These guys, if they want to sit out, good. Do it, please, by all means. Because I would rather anybody be at peace of mind of what they're doing instead of trying to force themselves into something. And we've seen a lot of NFL players opt out, not really any star power yet. But this quote from Odell, it just irritated me because I'm like, this is just your typical. Odell's always been sort of somewhat of a complaining type personality. He's built that reputation in the NFL. whether he likes it or not, he comes across a lot as entitled. He's got a lot of money, and doesn't seem to have the work ethic to back it up. And there's a lot of people that have a problem with that. I don't care if you make a lot of money. I don't care if your work ethic isn't great. I like people more when their work ethic is great. I don't really care about the money side. Outside of, you know, if you're getting paid a lot of money and you're not producing, I think that that's game on for criticism. And you can make that argument with Odell. I'm not going to today. That's not what I wanted to come on here to do. But I think the thing with Odell is that he makes a big deal out of something, and it just comes across the wrong way. And I would be perfectly fine with him sitting for the year. You know, like, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't bother me. Well, the Wall Street Journal had run this quote, I believe, in their paper Monday morning. Come to find out that this quote is a few weeks old. And Odell had actually flipped, you know, his position, because he got to the Browns training camp and saw the precautions and everything and realized how safe it was. And so here's something that, there's two things that I think we want to point out with this. Possibly three. I'm going to go with three. One, it's so easy to overreact to something that you... I definitely overreacted when I saw this quote, because I immediately get on Twitter, angry thumbs, shut up, Odell. So it's very easy to overreact and just jump on something when you see it. All right, and that is something that I do try to work on. I don't want to do that all the time. There are some times that I do, and I mess up. This is one of those times where I spoke too soon. So it's very easy to jump and overreact to something, to some news that you get too. This is how the media works. And this is sort of what I started to find out the hard way. And not pointing fingers at anybody specifically, not that it matters, but there were some people, okay, that I thought coming up and coming, I was like, man, I'll fit right in with these guys, you know, wanting to be in the NFL draft side of the media and doing things and at games, hanging out with these people, making friends. I was like, these guys are, I'm gonna fit right in with them, and I didn't. And when all of this nonsense went down back in May, that's when I found out why. Okay, so it's very easy for the media to manipulate something and try, and because that's who really holds a lot of the power in this country, is the media. So they are very capable of twisting things and changing perspectives, changing the overall understanding of a situation with the general public, okay? And that's what they've been doing throughout this entire coronavirus pandemic, is holding out on information, withstanding information, putting out false information. Masks don't work. Don't wear masks. Don't do it. Stay home. And then when they couldn't keep people at home anymore, the info came out, well, we told you no masks because we needed to make sure that we had enough masks for our medical personnel. They do help. Okay, so which one do you want me to believe? Okay, so the media controls the narrative, and they're not afraid to put out just brutally misleading stuff, like an outdated quote from Odell in this case. The last thing is, I think that's important to point out, it is easy to speak on things without the proper authority. And I think that's what Odell did in this instance. Because he comes out after the quote breaks, and he's like, look, I don't know if it was him or the agent, but you know, word came out that Odell's like, look, no, I said this weeks ago. Once I saw how safe it was okay with it. It was fine. So this is another one of those instances where you're speaking on something that you don't really have any business speaking on because you're not an expert in that field. And we just saw it this weekend. I mean, yesterday with Chris Palmer taking that video of that bomb that went off in Beirut. And, oh, that's nuclear. And this is a verified checkmark account. He's someone who vastly influences Twitter. And there were a lot of people that came back to him and said, no, dude, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Shut up. Okay, so like, it's easy to speak on things that you don't have authority on. And I think for a lot of us, we have to learn when not to speak and when to be quiet and listen. Everybody talks, nobody listens. Anyways, with that, we're going to take a break here on the John Vogel Show. Coming up next, a few other topics to get into. I hope y'all are enjoying this Wednesday edition of the show. Next. Welcome back into the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. You've just gotten all the info on that. So, anchor.fm, if you need anything. Speaking of other little plugs and things that we need to get into the show, have you checked out my website yet? We just had biggest article, biggest numbers, anything we've had so far, covering the TCU story on Monday. People are starting to realize that it exists and it's there, and the info that I'm putting out is geared at bringing light to the truth. You know, so go ahead and check it out, johnvogel.football, johnvogel.football, and get into the conversation there. There is a show page that you can submit requests for content, and I highly recommend that you all use that. So, let's get into this topic here. There's a couple guys, a couple quarterbacks so far in the NFL that, you know, made headlines when they went on the COVID exemption lists. Gardner Minshew, the Jacksonville Jaguars, rookie sensation from last year, entering his second season, sophomore year of the NFL, came out that he had indeed tested positive for coronavirus a few days ago and was quickly followed by Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford. However, within a couple days, both players were removed from the lists. Turns out that they were false positives. Okay, so this is something that we've kind of seen across the board in the NFL. Is that, and this isn't just NFL, this is sports in general, there's been a lot of false positive tests up to this point. Difference is, if you're a sports figure and you test positive for coronavirus, you get another test. The average everyday American tests positive for coronavirus. They sit at home for 14 days. So it does make you wonder how many of those tests, were the positive tests that we have, were false positives. Just saying. Anyways, it's not just here in the NFL. I mean, Juan Soto for the Washington Nationals got a false positive test, had to miss a game, you know, because he was sitting out due to it. It does make you wonder how many times the false positives are going to hurt teams. And if this is going to be something that may be intentionally used against teams. You know, we don't want to say that. We don't really want that thought to come up because it's not a pleasant thought. It kind of ruins the idea of competitive sports. But, you know, the world is a crazy place nowadays. And with all the money involved in sports, it would shock me that an independent doctor would indeed push somebody through as a false positive so that they would miss a game. You know, so this could be something that we need to monitor across the rest of the year. How many false positive tests are going to come up, and when they start affecting games,
you know, what's going on. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to ask those types of questions, but anyways, college football has pretty much settled into a 10-game schedule across the board for everyone. And so that'll be, it'll drop two games that normally are played. And that's that. You know, it's a good situation across the board for everybody. You get to start a little bit later. Schedules have been adjusted to start around September 26th. So it'll be a little bit into the NFL season. And that's fine. The college football will be fine with that. I think it's going to help. It's going to help a lot of these athletic departments that need it. And this has been pushed back as well to give the coaches time and the teams time to prepare, you know, because they've lost a lot of time that they normally have. So there's a lot of good angles to look at it from at this point. Now, you have to wonder how many players are going to drop out of college football to train for the NFL draft. And you have to assume that number is going to end up being significant. So far, it's been two. Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver at Minnesota, who is a borderline first-round prospect. I've looked at him extensively. I like him. I did have some initial concerns with him that I was hoping to see improved this year, but that's all right. The other one is Caleb Farley, cornerback at Virginia Tech. And Farley has dropped a lot of info that's a little bit scary regarding how Virginia Tech has handled the coronavirus and the protocols that they're not following that led to him ultimately dropping out. So they are being checked into as we speak due to Farley. I think that's probably one of the good things, the good whistle blows by a player is when they're not following protocols that are set forth by the NCAA for reasons. And you feel your safety is threatened. I think that's perfectly acceptable to go ahead and report if it is indeed true. And this one I'm going to lean toward probably is, because he did drop out, you know, for the NFL draft. So there was a question that was posed on Twitter yesterday on my feed that came through from Monsmoy, I believe, asking how many prospects do I think are going to end up dropping out. I think it's going to end up being a significant number. And when I say a significant number, I'm talking about something over, I think that you're going to have a couple rounds worth of players that will drop out, at least maybe closer to 100. The reason that is, it's not going to all be before the season. All right, you're going to probably have 40 to 50 guys that will drop out before the start of the season. And I think I'll have a tracker running on my website of all the players that have dropped out and what their draft status looks like. The question marks, all that stuff that surrounds them. I think that would probably be a good project to have. Now, I think you're going to see somewhere between 40 and 50 guys that will drop out before the season starts. And that will be exclusively before that. Once the season starts, I think you're going to have another 40 to 50 guys drop out through the season. You know, and it might be for different things. It might be, you know, the guy next to him, you know, right tackle drops out because right guard kind of came down coronavirus and tested positive, you know, and so he drops out looking to avoid that and to train for the NFL draft. I think you'll see things like that. That being said, I think it could very easily be that the majority of them drop out during the season and not so many drop out before it starts. Because so far two have. I mean, we're still a month away from kicking off, over a month away. And there's still a lot of time between now and then, but I think you're going to see the majority of the guys drop out during the season. And it's going to be a continuous thing, and there's going to be some ones that are going to be blindsided. You know, kind of like when the Bosa brothers, when they were in college, at least Nick was, he dropped out 3-4 games into the year to start training for the NFL draft. You're going to see stuff like that. Might be, I think every week there'll be a few players that drop out, and there might be a couple weeks where there's a lot of them. And they're going to be listening to agents. They're going to be listening to people, you know, bugs in their ear telling them what they think they should do. And that's fine. That's part of the business. I get it. I just hope that a lot of these guys make really good decisions. I can't speak for Farley. I haven't really looked at him. I think I need to. I'll probably try to look at him a good bit today, if possible. But Bateman, I really liked. I thought Bateman had a lot of positives. I definitely saw some issues where, you know, his route tree is a little bit limited. He's a good route runner, I think. I think that his footwork and everything is solid on that front. But the fact of the matter is, Bateman does not run very advanced, a lot of, you know, more advanced concepts. And that's something that I would really like to see him. I was really hoping to see him work on this year, and more of, you know, more routes, more nuances, and so on and so forth. But that'll be something he'll have to learn at the next level. Anyways, that's about all the time that we have on the show for today. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate every single one of you listening. The numbers continue to rise. I appreciate it. Go check out the website, johnvogel.football. If you want to follow me, keep up with the show, keep up with my work across the sports spectrum, pretty much any social media platform, you can find me at John D.A. Vogel. This is the John Vogel Show on this Wednesday Hump Day edition. God love you all. We'll be back tomorrow.